First off, I have to start with thank you. As if you don't know, the supporters for Notorious Mass Effect, objectively speaking, especially on the biggest platform for me as far as podcasting, which is the audio-only platform, the supporters, interestingly enough, as you can see right here, Analytic Dreams video on Spotify to see the video along with the audio, my supporters' favorite artist in the world for the year of 2025 was Bad Bunny. So you already know that I had to break down this Bad Bunny concert, this moment, this iconic figure.
Shepherd.
All right, my fault. Enough glazing. But the main thing is we're going to break this down like a kilo of Miley Cyrus.
But then, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, look at...
So with that being said, shout out to the Notorious Mass Effect supporters for not only having magnificent taste, but also for supporting my podcast. You know what I'm saying?
You guys.
All right, well, all the sentimental, you know, stuff out of the way. Let's get straight to it. As if you don't know, Bad Bunny, objectively speaking, just had the most watched halftime show in Super Bowl history. And I'm currently showing the actual list right now. As if you don't know, when it first started off in 2020, as far as Roc Nation, which is led by Jay-Z, Sean Carter, you should know that. Since he's taken over the entertainment for NFL, he first had J-Lo, and I believe that's Shakira. You know, hey, if I didn't get that right, then, you know, excuse me. But I believe that's Shakira. So J-Lo, Shakira. In 2021, you see The Weeknd. 2022, you see the LA people coming out in full effect. I mean, you had Size 7.
Shepherd.
I mean, Kendrick Lamar. You had Snoop Dogg and Mary J. Blige, the great white hope of hip hop, also formerly referred to as Eminem, and then the one and only Dr. Dre. 2023, you had Rihanna. 2024, you had the greatest performance under Roc Nation's tenure, in my humble opinion. And then you had Kendrick Lamar, Size 7, AKA White Tank Top, that performed in 2025, which, you know, I keep calling, and which, you know, I did go viral on Instagram, you know, and shout out to everybody who support all the social medias. But Instagram, you know, some Size 7 fans was very behooved and very irate to understand or to hear my review, my personal review of Kendrick Lamar's show, because even leading up into the most recent Super Bowl performance, Bad Bunny, it made me go back to Size 7.
Shepherd.
No, I got to do it because, you know, at the end of the day, over here at Notorious Mass Effect, when I'm getting into the greatest Mass Effectors in the music industry, I think love should be the main focus, right? There's enough division in the world. And especially when you watch the Bad Bunny concert and how he could have took that opportunity to weaponize his fandom into going against certain things, he basically spread the main message for the show was that love beats out hate. And I'm not gonna lie to you, that is why the Kendrick Lamar performance didn't sit well with me, because you just hate all over the screen for that man. I mean, even to the point where he was smiling, saying, hey, Drake, accusing him of the most egregious things, pedophilia, mind you, with no proof. And he said he had a daughter, but don't nobody want to talk about that.
But then, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, look at the state of hip hop. Like, what's going on?
So the guy that needs a chair to stand up to actually come face to face with Drake said not only was he a PDF, but also made it as if it was a game of life when the whole time he was just hating.
You guys, see, that's the problem.
So when it comes to Bad Bunny spreading love, basically having the whole phrase of the show being love beats out hate, you know why he said that? Because, of course, the reason why he was in his residency last year in the first place is because he wasn't touring in the U.S. because of ICE, right? Because ICE is basically running rampant around the United States, and that's an understatement. So that's why Bad Bunny wasn't performing in the U.S. And some would say, hold up now, isn't he being a hypocrite because he's performing in the Super Bowl? Well, technically not, because guess what? When it comes to the Super Bowl, I think the lowest tickets was like around $3,500 to $4,000. So safe to say those were like the nosebleed seats. Like, if you was watching your TV with your homies in the house, you had a better view than them. And they paid $4,000. Make that make sense. So everybody who was at the Super Bowl show was well off. So when it comes to this show, I don't think they had to worry about any crazy ICE raise or anything of that nature. Not saying that there wasn't any like Latinos or Latinas there, because obviously they were, which we're about to get into in a second. But when it comes to Bad Bunny performing at the Super Bowl, let's just say security for a regular event, if a security for a regular event had, like, let's just say a random number, like a million security officers, right? The Super Bowl had like 100 million. Like, the Super Bowl security is out of this world, because everybody who's somebody is usually walking around at any given time. So anyways, with that being said, when it comes to Bad Bunny having the biggest, most watched Super Bowl halftime show ever, safe to say he brought out a couple people, especially to be on the patio. As if you don't know, when it comes to Jessica Alba, which, you know, to me as a superhero fan, I know her as Invisible Woman, but I know she has her own career. So, you know, I ain't trying to disrespect her. But Jessica Alba, obviously Pedro Pascal, that plays every superhero character. I mean, he plays every popular character from, Joel from The Last of Us, Mr. Fantastic and Fantastic Four. And I think he was the Mandalorian dude, like in Star Wars. Like, this man's just everywhere, right? So whenever they want a popular actor, they disregard the whole male society to go for Pedro Pascal. I ain't just hating, I'm just calling it like it is. But then he also had the one and only Cardi B, you know what I'm saying? Karol G was also in attendance. Young Michael, which, you know, fun fact, I did cover Young Michael not too long ago as, well, I say not too long ago. Basically, I covered Young Michael when I still don't think anybody's really talking about her. No shade to her. I'm just saying, like, as far as over here in Notorious Mass Effect, we cover all genres. So I talked about Young Michael twice. Actually, four times. First time was in October 13, 2023. Goodness, I've been a Young Michael fan. Shout out to me. She actually has a track with Bad Bunny. It's titled Fina. So if anybody was wondering why Young Michael, which if you don't know who it is, if you don't know who that is, if you can see my, if y'all can see my cursor right here, I can see my cursor, right? Hopefully. But anyways, this is her. This is her right here. That's Young Michael. So they have a good amount of song. Well, actually, they have one song that I covered. And then I covered Young Michael again in 2024, then March 8th of 2024, and then, of course, May 16th of 2025, which I can't lie to you. That track with the lollipop sample is straight up fuego.
But then, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, look at the state of hip-hop. Like, what's going on?
We need more artists like Young Michael spreading the gospel when it comes to just having expert lyricism over a fire beat. You know what I'm saying?
Give him some praise!
Hey, give her some praise. You know what I'm saying? Give her some praise.
Give him some praise.
She's up there doing the Lord's work on how hip-hop can transition, especially with all languages, because I didn't know a lick of what Young Michael was saying. Looked up the lyrics, and I said to myself, hold on now.
You guys.
This girl is beyond fire. So anyways. So yeah, I've dove into Young Michael a bunch of times over on this podcast. So when it comes to Young Michael, she was also in attendance. And then, I think that's basically it. There were some other people, but that's all I wanted to highlight. So basically, they was... on the balcony, I believe, during the Bad Bunny Super Bowl halftime show. And of course, if you're a huge Bad Bunny fan, you're in the right place, because we're about to get into a lot of Easter eggs that you probably didn't catch while you was watching the show. So when it comes to the Bad Bunny halftime show, just know it was the first ever for a solo Latin artist to do so, performing entirely in Spanish, right? He did have Lady Gaga come out and have a tremendous part in English, but as far as the headliner and solo, mind you, because this, I think Shakira is also Latin or Latina, and J-Lo maybe, I don't know. Anyways, they're like a group. So the first solo Latin artist to headline. So while he was doing that, basically they was in the balcony or whatever. Y'all, basically, if you saw the show, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I actually don't know what to call that, but they was basically in the VIP area of his show, which I thought that was interesting. You know, with him celebrating Puerto Rican culture, history, and things of that nature, having a lot of Latinas up there, I mean, it's you know, it makes sense. And yeah, it made sense for a lot of other people too. You know what I'm saying?
Shepherd.
All right, my fault. Let me not get distracted. So anyways, getting back into the other Easter eggs of the show, the main thing you need to know is that Bad Bunny wasted no time getting straight into the representation of Latino culture and Puerto Rican pride and the overall political commentary. I love how it was basically love over hate, because who can't jive with that? You know, to take Joe Budden's words, pause, basically who can't jive with that? Because you look at somebody who's spreading love, not hatred, unlike Side 7. And you see where it came as far as the magnificent show that he put on. Like, looking at this chart right here, I do believe that Bad Bunny probably had the second best performance out of this list right here. I'll probably say, if I was ranking the last six performances. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The last seven. My fault. Last seven performances. I'll probably say Usher's number one. I just think he's an actual performer. And objectively speaking, he's probably the lesser known person out of this currently. And I don't know. Maybe J Lo and Shakira is probably lesser known. Nah, cause I think J Lo had a hit. Anyways, Usher is the quintessential performer. And singing, dancing, no background vocals. I mean, the whole time you're just wondering, how does this man keep going the whole time, dancing, singing, and not running out of breath? And that's something that I hold into high regard, especially when a performer is up against another performer as far as nostalgia, which, you know, everybody is saying the whole Michael Jackson, the whole Prince performance is up there as well. And I can't disagree with him. But when it comes to Usher, as far as the last six, last seven performers, I think he had the best one. So I would say Usher. Rihanna was pregnant, so I'm not like trying to disrespect her audience or whatever, or her in general. But I did think that she did the best that she could do while being pregnant. So that being said, I would probably say Usher, Bad Bunny, and then I like the Dr. Dre show. That's probably the top three for me right now. And there's nothing wrong with the Weeknd's performance. It's just, you know, when COVID happened, everything shut down. So it was basically like you wasn't working with a full deck of cars. You was walking around in some type of fairground mirror of venue, right? It looked like he was at the fair, walking around some type of mirror wall, which y'all seen that before at the fair. You go into the place with a bunch of mirrors and you had to find your way out of that maze. I thought that was a nice concept, but outside of that, it just didn't really live up to expectations, in my opinion. I'm a huge Weeknd fan. You know, he had my favorite album of last year with Hurry Up Tomorrow. So anyways, Usher had the best performance, in my opinion, in the past seven performances. I'll probably say Bad Bunny's number two, and then Dr. Dre and them is probably number three. So with that being said, getting back into the Easter eggs of the show, just know with all of the Latino pride in attendance, you know he had to have cultural Easter eggs for you to find out, or basically hear what you're about to do now as far as Notorious Mass Effect. And I know that everybody who's a huge Bad Bunny fan would love to know a lot of the Easter eggs throughout the show. So let's start with the most obvious one, the sugar cane field. So he started off with a pre-rendered a pre-made video of Puerto Rico, specifically as far as going into the actual show. So there was like a pre-rendered video of the sugarcane fields, and then they had a set made for the Super Bowl performance. But basically that was a nod to the sugarcane field. And then you had the Puerto Rican Vecindad. I hope I'm saying it right. Vecindad. I don't know if I'm saying it right. With a barbershop, liquor store, casita, replica of San Juan residency VIP house. If you don't know, when it comes to Bad Bunny and him having his residency, it was so much of a Notorious Mass Effect that people noticed that he was the person for the Super Bowl. Because after they couldn't get Taylor Swift, after they couldn't get Adele, they was like, well, let's go for another bunny. Let's get the baddest bunny. And guess what? That's how the Bad Bunny performance happened. So for everybody out there wondering why they don't get Taylor Swift, why they don't get Adele, guess what? It's because they said no. That's literally it. So, yeah, but you know, the NFL probably never wants to come out and say, oh, somebody said no, because, you know, make their cachet go down. You know, who wants to come out and be like, yeah, we, as the Super Bowl, we got turned down. Like, huh? That don't even sound right. But a lot of artists turn it, well, not a lot, a handful of artists turn it down. And maybe even less than that. So, I mean, only people I could think of who like really turned it down is, of course, the GOAT.
Is it okay I got my dope on me?
Because, you know, he's still dropping hits. So, you know, he probably waiting until they all come into fruition before he does that performance. But Drake, Taylor Swift, Adele, I'm trying to see who else they went for. That's pretty much all I could think of right now. Yeah, so like it's not a handful, but it's almost. So let's get into the songs performed at the show, because you had, and I would play the show in the background, but guess what? NFL does not play that.
You guys.
NFL does not play that.
See, that's the problem.
So we're going to keep this image here as I talk about the show. So Tito Me Pregunto, that's what Bad Bunny opened the show with. Then he had Yo Perio Sola, which with a rooftop performance with A-list Latino stars dancing. That's basically this picture I was showing you right here with all the A-listers out. Well, I ain't trying to be disrespectful, but, you know, a couple A-listers. Let's just put it like that. Then he had Monaco which feature violins and direct camera meshes itself for self-belief. If you don't know, that's what they call like the dolly shot. I'm not like a TV and movie producer, but that's what I've been told is what it's called. It's the dolly shot when he was looking right into them. Basically, let me get my full screen. It's basically like this. He was looking right into the camera like this, and the dolly was like moving the camera back. So it was like a moving shot, but he was staying still, and he was giving some type of monumental motivational speech. I think he said something like, always believe you can do it or something like that, because he was like, I believe I could do it, and nobody believe I could do it, and like I'm here headlining the Super Bowl, something like that. It was something like uplifting moment during that track. So then he had then he had El Apagon, I'm probably butchering that to you know what, highlighted Puerto Rico's electrical crisis. So I don't know too much about that. But actually, let's look that up right now. Hold on now. You know, I gotta do some Mickey research, you know what I'm saying? Bad Bunny electrical outlets. That's really, we get into all the Easter eggs, especially after I figured out that majority of my consumers of favorite artists is Bad Bunny. Best believe we're gonna spend some time on this. So anyways, the electrical outlets, it was a power infrastructure occurrence, right, where Puerto Rico's chronic power outages and unreliable electrical grid worsened by hurricanes like Maria in 2017, poor maintenance, privatization. Yeah, I think that's how you say it. Yeah, I probably like sound it out. I'm trying. And then it was highlighted dramatically in his Super Bowl performances. So if you're wondering what that was from, it's because of the 2017 hurricanes like Maria. And basically, you know, that's what the electrical pole was for. So anyways, getting back into it. So that was during El Apagon. And then during the track Cafe Con Ron, it was the finale celebrating unity across Americas, which I think that's when he brought out all the flags. So I think that was also nice because, you know, people was upset with that. But basically, you notice I haven't said the other show yet, right? The reason why I didn't mention them until now, because they don't really deserve shine at the beginning of the segment, right? But basically, Turning Point USA, right? They had some type of show, very just racism all over the place, right? Kid Rock and somebody else. Basically, they performed, like 6 million people viewed it on YouTube. And of course, that was out the gate. I think it's at like 20 million by as of right now, but maybe even more than that. But basically, with Bad Bunny having 135 million at the gate, I mean, come on now.
Whoop-dee-doo.
I guess that racism wasn't that strong, right?
Whoop-dee-doo.
It's almost like Bad Bunny's message about love outlasting hate is a real thing. Shout out to Bad Bunny. So that's the only thing I'm going to talk about with that other show, which, you know, I think the last time we even had two shows like that as far as the Super Bowl was Civil War. So yeah, do with that what you will, and who was co-signing that type of show. Anyways, then Bad Bunny ended it off with DTMF, closing number during fireworks and field dance party. So that was pretty cool. Of course, Lady Gaga did have her performance. Ricky Martin was there, Karol G, Cardi B, Pedro Pascal, which we already talked about. Invisible Woman, a.k.a. Jessica Alba. Young Michael, you know, the Lollipop King, Pulse. Is that Pulse? That's not. It's actually... Anyways, we're going to keep it like that. Yeah, so the Lollipop King, you know what I'm saying? As far as the instrumental on the track, What's Up? Straight Fire by Young Michael to this day. So anyways, when it comes to Latinas and Latinos, that was definitely in attendance. When it comes to the overall language, safe to say that was the main objection to a lot of people. And honestly, watching the show from a perspective of just hanging out with the homies, and seeing how they had no idea what was going on. Because me, you know, I've been covering different genres to the point where I could kind of pick up on certain language and just certain ways that they're going about their track. Because, you know, going from K-pop to Latin music. I'm trying to think what other music I listen to in other language. That's the majority of what I listen to. But basically, I understood the whole significance of what Bad Bunny was doing. Now, of course, I know every word. Of course not. I don't know Spanish. But I always told y'all, when it comes to Spanish music or just other genre music outside of rap and R&B that's using languages outside of English, because I've also gotten to Punjabi before. I forgot to mention that. When it comes to Bollywood Latin music. When it comes to K-pop, I listen for this RDC word. I didn't realize everybody didn't know what this word meant. But sonically speaking, that's what I listen to for the structure, for how the melodies is placed throughout the song. And once you listen to enough and you don't speak the language, you can start to recognize the lyrics, like, or recognize the patterns. Like sonically, you'd be like, oh, the chorus is happening right now. Oh, the bridge is happening right now. Like the buildup is more familiar, is more the same with other genres than you realize. You think we're very different, but once you start listening to enough genres, you start to pick up on certain things like the bridge, the chorus. Okay, now he's doing his first verse. Now he's doing the second verse. Like, you start to pick up on stuff like that. So I think I was looking at it from a different perspective. But hanging out with the homies, I'm not gonna lie to you, the one critique that I think was maybe plausible is them not having subtitles. I think they should have had subtitles because, you know, people was just ignorantly out of the loop when Bad Bunny was performing. They ain't know what in the world that man was saying. That whole speech when he was looking at a camera like this while the dolly was going backwards, he could have been saying the most racist stuff ever and nobody would have known. Obviously he wasn't. It was the complete opposite. You know, believe in yourself type message and motivation from Bad Bunny during that moment. But without the subtitles, nobody would know. So anyways, getting back into Puerto Rico, right? The stage included Puerto Rican elements like palm trees, sugar cane, coconut vendors, boxing matches. I like the boxing match. I thought that was pretty solid. I was like, hey, you know, y'all do be getting down when it comes to boxing. I'm not going to lie to you. That is one thing where, you know, culturally, you could definitely recognize that. Like, oh, yeah, y'all got that. Y'all got that on, well, I'm not going to say on lock because, you know, we do have Floyd. We do have Terrence Crawford. I'm just saying. But, you know, for the majority of boxers, you know, everybody recognizes their solidified status in the game. Of course, like I talked about with the electrical power outages and stuff, he referenced that, you know, specifically Hurricane Maria. And then if you didn't notice, he also had empty chairs. And if you go back to the show after listening to this video, best believe you're going to be able to pinpoint every single moment that I'm talking about. Because I'm kind of breaking it down sequentially, right? So in chronological order, let's just put it like that. Anyways, there was 3,000 empty chairs for the lives lost, power line structures symbolizing infrastructure collapse. So many different cultural moments throughout the show, which if you can't get them to understand your language, I think the scenery, visually, he definitely got them to understand the culture of Latinas in Puerto Rico. So anyways, the jersey number 64 that he was wearing throughout the whole show was a tribute to his mother that was born in 1964. So shout out to that. That's definitely a mama's boy, if you can't tell. So as far as the pro-Latino immigrant identity, celebrating America as a continent-wide inclusive entity, I thought that was very important. And there was definitely references to Trump era policies and ICE controversies, because, you know, that's the whole reason why Bad Bunny wasn't performing in the U.S. So if everybody's wondering why he got chosen for the Super Bowl, it's because he was making such a notorious Mass Effect in one Puerto Rico residency. We've never really seen something like that since, like, Harry Styles did, like, Madison Square Garden for, like, 15 nights straight. Like, what Bad Bunny did in Puerto Rico is going to go down in history as one of the biggest moments for Latino culture. So anyways, when you go into the other moments, you come to realize that Billboard had messages throughout his performance, where some of them said the only thing more powerful than hate is love. Hold on now. Who was saying that throughout this whole segment? So that was like his main phrase throughout the whole show. And honestly, I like this type of message. And even though rap is a competitive sport, and how I very much did not care for Kendrick's performance, aside from other things, but, and I've dove into that in detail, so you already know. But when it comes to the division, especially in today's age, it was so refreshing that a humongous artist like Bad Bunny was just spreading love throughout his whole show. I mean, the whole thing was about unity, coming together, and the whole quote of the only thing more powerful than hate is love was just tremendous, man. Make you sure the adults here, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. And also, the message on his football that he was carrying throughout the whole show was quote, "Together we are America." And that was on the football he was carrying throughout the whole show. So also he had symbolic and memorable moments such as Casita on stage, a miniature house with celebrity guests, which we already got into that. When he was talking, as far as his direct camera messages, you know, the one I keep referring to when he was like this and the dolly was moving backwards, basically, that was him saying, never stop believing in yourself. You are worth more than you think. Crazy, man. Who would have thought a Super Bowl performer can have a magnificent performance without going at one individual? Crazy. Anyways, Bad Bunny also gifted a Grammy to a child, which that child was Lincoln Fox, a child actor, symbolically. Oh my goodness, come on, man.
You guys.
We ain't cutting that out either. We keeping that in there. Y'all gonna hear my messages. Like I said, I do this in one take. Anyways, symbolically, received a Grammy referencing self-belief in Latino youth. So shout out to Lincoln Fox. I wonder if he got to keep that Grammy if it was for the show. You know me, I'm just thinking like, hold on now. That's my album of the year. They ain't just no random Grammy. You got the biggest one. Best album of the year. That's a big Grammy. You know, if you don't know, Bad Bunny went crazy in the Grammys, winning album of the year in a bunch of other like Latino categories, or Latin categories, I should say. But yeah, so I wonder if he got that back or not. But hey, Playboy, show's over. Let me get that back. Lil Timmy, Lil Pedro, let me get that back. But anyways, the Ricky Martin performance, there was a bridge between generations of Latin music. First Super Bowl for Martin, fully in Spanish. I heard some things about Ricky Martin, but I'm just going to leave it at that because I don't know what I don't know. But my friend, who may or may not be Mexican, he said,
Shepherd.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just, hey, there was some stuff. But hey, he showed me some proof too. I was just like, hold on now. I don't know if I can say, I can't say that because I'm not deep enough into the culture to be able to talk about that in detail. Let's just put it like that. So that's why I'm going to leave it at. If you want to do your own due diligence and look that up, hey, you do it. Anyways, in the finale, there's a whole lot of flag representation, as you had Latin America, U.S., Canada, Puerto Rico flags as far as promoting the hemispheric unity. And in the wedding scene, if y'all don't know, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? The wedding scene was actually real. I know you're thinking to yourself, nah, it wasn't real. That was staged. It was an actual real couple who waited to get married right in front of Bad Bunny's performance. Crazy. So Bad Bunny obviously orchestrated that for that to happen. And I couldn't think of a better way to get married, you know what I mean, as far as if you want the clout and stuff from a bunch of strangers. So anyways, and we have President Trump coming out criticizing the show, which means it was a success, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. Only thing that's more powerful than hate is love. You know what I'm saying? So the biggest hater came out. I'm surprised Si7 didn't come out himself to hate on the show. But anyways, Trump came out. Basically, you know, he said all type of stuff. Nobody really needs to quote that man. Basically, let's just, you know, in two words, he said it was absolutely terrible. That should let you know how that man.
You guys.
Come on now.
See, that's the problem.
So anyways, once again, Bad Bunny kept reiterating the only thing more powerful than hate is love. And he also said that during his Grammy acceptance speech. So safe to say he did a phenomenal job on spreading love, and the biggest hater came out for no reason. And let's just say we're just going to ignore him for right now. As far as the production, right? I guess NFL cover productions, because they never pay artists to perform on a stage because it's like the look, quote unquote look. You wonder why Taylor Swift turns it down every year. It's the look, right? Super Bowl is the biggest event. They are like, y'all need us more than we need you. So I think they'll probably have to change that structure at some point. It definitely seems outdated, especially when you compare it to the superstars and the music industry. Like looking at this list right here, I'm not going to lie to you. Bad Bunny is the biggest artist on this list. Now, obviously, some people may say Rihanna. And to that, she has not dropped in like 2 decades. So y'all chill out with that.
But then, you know what I'm saying? I was like, damn.
So objectively speaking, Bad Bunny is the biggest on this list. I know y'all probably saying Si7, but at the end of the day, everybody only tuned in to him because he was dissing Drake. Like, literally, if you look at the charts right now, let's see where he's at. Now I got to do it. Now y'all going to make me bring up the objective charts. All right, so when you look at the albums and singles, right? So Bad Bunny's obviously running the charts right now. So it's kind of skewed because Bad Bunny's probably getting a huge surge because of the Super Bowl. But Bad Bunny currently has the second most played album in the world. And I think that album came out like middle of last year, I believe. Let me see. Or maybe even later than that. Let me see. So Debbie Taramo's photos came out January 5th, 2025. Goodness gracious. Ladies and gentlemen, it is February 10th, 2026, and it's still the second most played album in the world. Now, of course, it probably got helped out by the Super Bowl a little bit, but then, you know, he also has another album on the charts, Un Verano Stenti. That's the 16th most played album in the world. So with that being considered, and then you have Bad Bunny from a singles perspective, having the 10th most played track in the world with DTMF, which is why he played that last at the Super Bowl. That's objectively speaking his best performing track. Ballet and Noel Vittable. I think that's how you say it. I probably butchered that. That's the 19th most played track in the world from Bad Bunny. Nuevo is the 28th most played track from Bad Bunny. EU, it's like E-O-O. So that's the 42nd most played track by Bad Bunny. And of course, you have Voy a Levarte Pa PR. So that's the 47th most played track. So as far as looking at his list, I don't think he performed all of them. He definitely sprinkled a good amount of them. But yeah, because that one wasn't on there. EU, he didn't perform that one. I'm trying to see other ones. Nuevo, I don't think he didn't perform that one. Ballet, did he perform that? He didn't perform that one. Yeah, he only performed, as far as what I'm seeing right now, as far as his most popular tracks, he only performed DTMF, which is objectively speaking his best performing track. So that makes sense. He probably just wanted to have his greatest hits and then his current greatest hit, which is DTMF. So with that being said, as far as a lot of people wondering how the show was going to happen, as far as Bad Bunny representing his culture, I think he did a phenomenal job. You know, so many people on the stage, very organized. I love when he fell through the, quote unquote, fell through the house, and then the whole pre-rendered, pre-made video played, and then it cut to him coming out of the house. I thought that was pretty solid. A lot of the pre-made videos I thought added to the performance. I would like to see more people incorporate that. Like, my mind goes to a Kanye West, but hey.
You guys. Hey. See, that's the problem.
That's from Kanye yourself. That's the problem right there. You can't have Kanye up there. He may get up here and say, pray.
Shepherd.
I ain't gonna say it. Yeah, I know what he get up there saying. Hey. Kanye will make a moment, all right? So, yeah, he's probably not gonna get the opportunity. So now, you know, in conclusion, talking about who they should have next, a certain somebody. I had to bring this up because, you know, I say this time and time again. And, you know, it's becoming more apparent because Usher definitely had my favorite performance out of the past 7 performers, right? And a certain somebody came out. And this is his actual account, ladies and gentlemen. No, this is not AI. This is his actual account. This is what he actually tweeted. So, let me see. So, this man, Chris Breezy, who I think is the most talented human in music, and just the most talented individual I've ever seen. I mean, this man sing, he rap, he plays sports, right? He paints. I'm good. You know, y'all may think, you know, y'all probably like stop glazing. I'm just like, hey, bro, he just more talented than everybody.
You guys.
You know what I'm saying?
See, that's the problem.
So when Chris Brown says, I think it's safe to say they need me, one, I don't think it was the right time. You know, you're basically unintentionally discrediting Bad Bunny, which I think he had a phenomenal performance. So I don't think that's right. You know, that's a little player hating. And, you know, if I was to be a little messy, I could see Bad Bunny and Chris Brown, you know, coming to some type of crossroads with certain teams. You know what I'm saying?
Shepherd.
All right, my fault. Basically, I'm not saying this over a woman. I'm just saying I think he was player hating on Bad Bunny for a reason. Yeah, I figure out what that reason is. But yeah, Chris Brown said they need me. I'm not going to cap. They do. I think this tweet was ill-timed. Whoever's his PR team, they need to let him know. All right, I kid you not. It was probably Chris Brown that tweeted that out. He probably didn't go run that past nobody, because anybody on his PR team would have told him that was a bad move. Because who in the world looks at another performer at the Super Bowl, his biggest moment in his career, or it's supposed to be, and then tweets that out? With the type of pool you just had with the Breezy Bowl being one of the most successful tours of all time. Like, there's no need to step on somebody's moment. You could have said that, like, 2 weeks after, and would have had the same effect, in my opinion. Saying that right after what Bad Bunny did, I think is a little insensitive. And I just don't think it was fitting. I don't think he should have did that. But once again, he's not lying. I'm not going to lie to him. Chris Brown, like, y'all going to say I'm glazing. I don't care. All right, so this man, the most talented person I've ever seen. If he got on that Super Bowl stage and did 50 backflips in a row and landed on beat, y'all would understand what. Hold on, I would play it. Literally, he had the show at the BET performance. Well, I've never seen it. It made me realize. I was like, bro, there's really levels to this. This man was singing, rapping, and then at the end of the show, he did a backflip and landed on beat. Literally landed on beat. I was thinking to myself, now I know this man ain't human.
I know that ain't who I think it is.
That can't be a human feat. Like,
I know that ain't who I think it is.
And you know, some people say he's fueled by that. Shepherd. All I'm saying is, Chris Brown got on that stage. Ladies and gentlemen, that'll probably be the best Super Bowl halftime performance in his history. I kid you not. You know how there's like a consensus that says that, you know, everybody comes together to say that Kanye West is like the most impactful hip-hop artist because from the producer side, from the rapping side, well, not really the rapping side, but from the producer side, being able to rap and people take it in because, you know, a bunch of people wrote for Kanye. But basically, to blend the two and still to have the phenomenal career that he had, I think that's the same type of rhetoric when it comes to Chris Brown and his talent level when performing. It's just really not too many people who's on his level. Chris Brown's like the first person that you could literally match up to Michael Jackson, and the performance, it can have some real competition. I know what y'all saying. Y'all probably think it's blasphemy right now. And it's probably because he had that whole, not probably, it definitely is because he had that whole case with Rihanna. Chris Brown's really on that level. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. Like, if you perform, I think y'all see some things I never saw before. So that's all I can say, man. That's all I can say. So with that being said, hopefully we wrapped up the Super Bowl in a swell manner because, of course, once again, I really appreciate all the Notorious Mass Effect supporters out there. And guess what? I saw that Bad Bunny was your favorite artist of 2025. And guess what? I said I was going to dive into this like a Kilo and Miley Cyrus, and I think we did just that. So with that being said, click my link tree in my bio. Let me know on one of my social medias. What do you think about Bad Bunny having the most watched Super Bowl halftime show ever? What was your favorite moment in the Bad Bunny Super Bowl halftime show? And also, who would you want to see perform next in the Super Bowl for the year of 2027?
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.